The first lesson this morning is from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the counties, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is the 95th Psalm. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. O that today you would listen to his voice. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we call? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer the Lord, "When was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, we've all heard the expression, no one on their deathbed ever said, dot, 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 right? Sometimes it's no one on their deathbed ever said, I wish I had spent more time at work. Or no one on their deathbed ever said, I wish I had spent more time cleaning. Or more time worrying. Or fill in the blanks with all sorts of things. However we finish that sentence, the point is always the same. When we imagine the end, we can much more easily see what's truly important. Imagining that we are out of time leaves crystal clear what really matters. That's what today's gospel does for us as well. What we have in this section of Matthew is really unique. It's different from anything else in the Gospels because it paints a picture of the end times. Now, this picture isn't a glimpse into the future telling us exactly what the end will look like, because it's made very clear in other parts of Scripture that we don't get to know those details. So that's not what this is. Instead, this apocalyptic scene, this picture of the end times, is a sacred imagining that boils things down to their essence for us. It's that deathbed scenario. At the end of the day, when we're out of time, what is it that truly matters? What, in the end, is most important? And what is most important to God? What this picture clearly reveals about what is most important has nothing to do with how much we've accomplished or if we have all the right answers. It has nothing to do with how admired we are or how perfect our faith or our biblical understanding is. Instead, what it all boils down to, what's revealed as having ultimate importance, is everyday kindness and ordinary acts of service. At the end of the day, what matters most is caring for those in need, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger. In other words, helping others, acting out of love and compassion wherever we see suffering, wherever we see need. That's it. That's what it all boils down to. That is what matters most to God. That is the heart and soul of discipleship, of what it is to follow Christ's call. So much so that Jesus tells his disciples that when we do these things, it's as if we are doing them for him. One scholar put it like this: when people respond to human need or fail to respond, they are in fact responding or failing to respond to Christ. And it is those who respond who find themselves blessed. Okay, Lutheran time out. Did you hear what I just said? It did not sound very Lutheran. In fact, that almost sounds like works righteousness, right? The people who do the right thing are welcomed into the kingdom. The people who don't do the right thing are condemned to eternal fire. What about forgiveness? What about salvation by faith through grace? What about God's love and blessing being unconditional and completely free gift? This text seems to say a lot about judgment and law and nothing at all about forgiveness. Well, what we have to understand here is that Matthew isn't a systematic theologian. He isn't trying to work out a complicated system where all the pieces neatly interlock into a perfect puzzle. Unlike modern readers, Matthew's quite comfortable with the messiness and the confusion of texts that don't quite agree and that leave us with apparent conflicts or inconsistencies. When you read through Matthew's gospel, everything doesn't fit perfectly together. And that's not a mistake, because Matthew understood that the truth that he was writing about is far too big to be wrapped up neatly with a little bow. We can only capture bits and pieces of it from different angles whenever we try to tie it down with words. And that's really hard for people living in the information age. We want everything to fit. We want everything explained. But in order for us to hear this truth that Matthew is sharing with us, we need to be able to sit a little with the messiness. So don't let go of what we know about grace and forgiveness and God's love for you. Hold on to those and keep them close. But listen to what is revealed to us in this text about God's will for our lives, about what God values and what's of ultimate importance. Listen and hear what it is that we are called to do today and every day until God's kingdom is fulfilled. None of that changes the fact that you are loved and forgiven by God. None of that changes the fact that the work of salvation has already been done for you. That does not change. But that truth, the truth of love and grace and salvation, also does not diminish the fact that we are called to love and care for those in need. And it does not change the fact that nothing brings us closer to God's heart than when we love and care for one another. So in this section of Matthew, Jesus is giving his last big speech to the disciples, his farewell discourse, at a moment that is very much like a deathbed scene for Jesus, when he is quite literally running out of time in his life on earth. And he paints this apocalyptic scene that boils it all down and makes crystal clear for the disciples what is most important in this life. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. That is what we are called to do. That is how we are called to live lives in relationship with Christ, by caring for others. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like feeding people through our food pantry and making giving bags like Kelsey was talking about and the blankets that were made this past Wednesday for youth emergency services. It looks like shoveling the driveway for a neighbor who can't do it themselves or donating money to Lutheran Disaster Response. It means bringing meals to new parents or speaking up and voicing God's love for all people, especially when you hear individuals or groups being attacked by using religion. It looks like listening to someone who is hurting or grieving. It can look like supporting the ministry of Holy Cross with your time and your talent and your treasure. Inviting someone who is lonely to join you for dinner, to join your family in celebrating a holiday. It looks like just taking the time to check in and see how someone else is doing. There are so many big and small ways that we can take care of one another. And when we do, we encounter Christ. When we take the time to stop worrying about all the things that are less important, all our busyness and our to-do lists, when we stop all the hurrying and worrying long enough to notice and care for the people around us, that is when we are living in God's kingdom. That is when we are living in God's kingdom here and now. That is when we are truly blessed. Because in caring for one another, we not only help to build up God's kingdom and share God's love for others, but we more fully experience the life that God has promised us. A life filled with meaning and with hope and with love. Thanks be to God. Amen.